What up, what up, what up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. Your host here, Monster DFace, bringing you guys your weekly installment of more Fortnite news. As you can see from today's title, we have a lot going on, including a bunch of high-tier competitive players being banned. We're talking about some of the most renowned competitive players alongside some that have had some dodgy past histories and other run-ins, and we're going to talk all about how that affects everything that's happening. And it's a pretty big deal considering we're coming right out of what was a huge viewership weekend, and we have some concerns and questions. They're going to be talking about that as well. And of course, we want to thank you guys for downloading these episodes, interacting with them, leaving us reviews, and checking us out wherever it is that you listen to us, whether it's Apple Music, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Dash Radio, whether it's Amazon Music. I mean, you name it, you call it, we're there. We thank you guys. Appreciate all the support. With that all out the way, all the house clean and done, it's just SPG and I, man. We're just going to be calling the action, kicking it like, you know, like good old boys. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's a nice chill day post FNCS. You know, Panda did the drop spot today, so he can't appear on too many podcasts. Got to take it easy.
Yeah, he's got to balance out his podcast life. You know, he did one too many this week. This is gonna be the excuse.
Hit his quota.
He hit his quota. Yeah, there it is. That's actually hilarious. Panda hit his quota. We'll hit him with that next week. Dude, so let's just debrief a little bit, man. We had FNCS play out. It was what felt like an incredible return to high level competition. There was clearly, in my opinion, something that felt different this Sunday, right? Like Saturday, Sunday versus the previous weeks. What was your take on the FNCS?
It was awesome. Like, straight up, this FNCS was freaking awesome. And I don't know whether it was all the storylines we had going in, because there was a ton of them, the actual gameplay, the fact that like a ton of buildup happened. I can't tell you why, but also I think part of it for me is like this felt like a balanced meta. So it's no nonsense. Like there's a certain amount of nonsense that you have to learn to accept with Fortnite, but like this was pretty no nonsense. And I'm totally okay with that. And like just starting with EU, that was so much fun to watch. I'm sitting there in this actual seat watching it on my monitor and just like screaming, you know, by myself in my room, like, oh! And if you guys don't know, well, now you do. Malabuka and Mustache won, beating out Queasy and Thomas HD just barely. Literally, like, just barely. Less than an elimination by beating them. And so Thomas goes another FNCS without winning one, and Malabuka gets his first, which both, like, the fact that it came down to those two kind of head-to-head for the last couple of games, one of them has to win their first FNCS, and we're just watching it happen. It was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And just talking about, like, how I also look like a madman walking around my house with my phone head down, and I'm talking to Alex, my wife, at this point, like, oh, you're not gonna believe this, the person who like last year was in the same position as, and she's just like, uh-huh, yeah, sure, like, what's going on? She doesn't follow competitive at all, you know, but she's looking at me like, yeah, oh, you're really interested, huh? And yeah, it was a great, absolute great FNCS. I think I know why, by the way. People genuinely enjoyed this weekend of live coverage in particular. My theory, and this is, I think this is a legitimate running theory. My theory is that the like first week and the semifinals weekends were so lackluster due to the lack of HELOS that when we got to finals and teams were just like in what seemed like bloodlust mode, like dudes are going at it in the end games, that we just completely were starved out of like good end games, and all we got was great games from the beginning of the action all the way up to the end. Because I do believe there's a placebo effect that was happening with the players, where, you know, everyone thinks like, oh, there's more action, like, look at all this, like, there's always fights happening. I think this has been kind of trendy for some time now. I've not really gotten, it's been a long time since we have real stale mid game or early game in Fortnite, especially at the highest level. However, I do believe we were starved of really good end games all throughout the weeks, and that's why finals just it just hit the itch, dude.
Yeah, so a couple of questions to come back at you. One, I loved the new Storm Surge mechanic because I felt like we didn't get those moments throughout the end games where it's like, wow, okay, we can clearly see lag is happening and this is how somebody's losing their game. So that's question number one. And then two, do you feel that this is the right way to build it up? Because you said we were kind of like robbed of those proper end games throughout the weeks. Is that the right way to do it? Because I don't know. I would love to hear what you think.
So first off, a little bit of inside information. Those end games, I think the server performance has felt better because the production team took the hit and cut a substantial amount of Observer coverage. That could play into the fact, of course, coupled with those storm changes. So I think we saw like a compounding effect of like they went in with, I don't want to say the exact number, but they had a really scrappy team they were working with. And shout out to those dudes, bro. They were working overtime to get that coverage. We're talking like Kovacs. Like if you never did spectator count or mess with the replay mode, you can click on names and stuff to like insta jump into fights. That's what you kind of have to do when you don't have a full, you know, 15 man team doing all the wide coverage. When it's just like a couple of y'all, you gotta work for it. So I think that's one of the major factors that definitely played into server performance, compounded on top of the fact that of course we saw the actual changes that were brought in through the new storm changes. So yes, I'm with you there. Absolutely sick. The game seemed like it went pretty well, all things considered. We didn't have, you know, the dumpster fire that is pros going crazy like, stop watching my game. I know you're spectating me, right? Because we saw a lot of that. And then
the only complaint was the timing, right? Like, just don't do that the few days right before Grands. But now that it's in and it seems to be better, all right, perfect. Leave it.
Yeah, yeah. And then your second question was what exactly? I kind of went on a long tangent there.
No, all good, all good. Basically, do you think that us being robbed of proper end games throughout the qualifiers and semis is the right move to then lead to the proper hype going into Grands?
Man, I'm indifferent about this. This, I personally, you know, I enjoy the FCS a lot. When I go to Twitter at 10:30 at night or 11 at night, I'm like, hey, by the way, guys, FCS was fire. Like, I can't wait for tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's something there when my old self who, like, I have like almost zero motivation to make Twitter content and, you know, that kind of stuff is like, nah, I got to express myself. I was geeking. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Is it the right decision? Man, I don't think so. I think we need to find and strike a better balance. We talked about this in the weekly episodes for a reason. We collectively, as a community, as individuals, definitely were not excited about lag and absolutely not excited about the way the med kits work. And so much, in fact, I was like, bro, add a delay. Like, I don't care. Break the game for everybody else. We need a med kit delay. Like, because you're not guaranteed those really, really good end games. Don't worry, I am recording, I promise. That's the alarm going off, guys. We're here.
Nice.
But seriously, like I think we're more deserving of a great season start to finish. I prefer those, even if it means, yeah, you know, in the end, it's a lot of the same good stuff. I want more of that. Because it's FNCS, dude. We only get three of them a year on the current cadence. Like, they should all be really good. Like, all the finals should feel like that, like a finals weekend.
Yeah, I would agree. I the one thing I like the buildup because I feel like it was the first time we had actual proper buildup towards the grand finals. Because typically it feels like we've already played out the lobbies going into grand finals, and now it's like we know who's going to be the best, and there's going to be a few things that change that ultimately change the way this works. But I don't think it's the right way to then remove more good games in order to make the few good games we get more entertaining, right? That just doesn't sound like the best way to do it is like, oh, take stuff away so that way when I do give it to them, it's that much better. So I don't know. Like, I personally, I know Panda said differently, and I think you said differently, that they're going to change the format and maybe make it adjustments to it. I don't think the format changes. I think this is what we're playing the entire year. So this is what it is. And I mean, I'm okay with it, especially after how this FNCS went, but I don't know. I feel like we're robbed of more good games.
Well, let's think about the type of content that was covered, especially like I really want to focus in on week two, because week one was, I mean, it's kind of all over the place. We have a lot going on in week one. The way the entire week one NFL red zone style coverage is currently working is literally not working. Like, the way it was executed upon needs a lot more work. I don't know if that means we need 2 or 3x the observers, and we need to just sprinkle them, scatter them everywhere across more games and actually jump around. But there's something that from week one coverage has to get better. But one thing we can zoom in on is week two. I think the reason we feel like there was a good narrative building up, as confusing as the roadmap to finals was, it was still very good to watch, like, upper bracket games. Like, the idea of, like, these brackets being covered and very different stakes happening, I think it's pretty cool. However, I do believe they got to split them up. Give them different time blocks or different days. And expand the production team, or, like, figure it out. Either way, shouldn't happen at the same time. Because that is a cool concept. And the players enjoyed it. They feel like, the players themselves felt like they were accomplishing something. I mean, look at how many people won, like, the lower bracket, and they were, like, proudly, like, yeah, that's the lower bracket, I'm going to, right? Like that's those are achievements in their own, and there were celebratory opportunities all within that on the timeline, which I thought was, like, pretty cool. Like, I enjoyed that part of it.
I think so, too. I'm with you. I think the coverage of the weeks, the actual Fortnite broadcast, is just going to be way worse than watch parties, because you're way more limited. There's just no way you're going to be able to jump from Booga to Bucky to Clicks, then go watch somebody else and constantly just jump around, being able to watch whoever you want. Like, that's just not going to happen. But for watch parties, it's awesome. Like, shout out Aussie. Aussie did a great job. But also shout out to all the players, because tons of them streamed it.
Yeah.
So again, even Aussie wouldn't have a great viewing party experience if he didn't have 40 player perspectives from the 250 or so. So that's one thing. Also, we haven't talked about NA yet. So either we can keep going down this road, or we can talk about NA right now.
Let's shout out some NA winners, man. Take me through some of those results, SVG. NA was popping for sure.
Yeah, so it really is only one result, and that's Acorn and Cold, and Acorn and Cold are the entire region. Like, they're the region, they own the region, everybody else is there. You guys know what the word that I'm trying to say is there. they won by, like, 200 points, won the last game, like, absolutely dominated. You go back, watch their VODs. Acorn put the video out. I recommend you go watch it. It looks like they're playing on easy mode, and it is not easy. Anyone who plays in the top level knows it is not easy. But you watch them, you're like, oh, I could definitely do that. But no. Nobody can do what they just did, clearly, by the way that they won.
A couple things to single out, too, just about, like, their general performance. Their day one was, like, pretty solid. Their day two, though, was, I feel like, really held together by a couple of the incredible, like, solo clutches Cold had, like, individually, which allowed them to, like, kind of take away, like, where a team would normally fall and, like, it would stay competitive. Like, the reason the point difference is so massive is because the few opportunities where Cold had to step up or just continue to remain, like, a demon on the Fortnite, you know, playing field, he did. Like, his momentum was crazy, and he just didn't stop.
I have to disagree with you there, because he did have, like, one or two good solo clutches, and yes, he did get his team more points, but even before not that, significant enough.
My rebuttal, here it is. You're thinking about the end game solos, which exactly, he had two of those. Very particularly, he stretched it. Then he had another moment. Acorn dies in a 2v1. He plays deep. Like, he had, like, two reboots out of the 6 games and 2 crazy endgame solo clutches. So that's like 4 out of 6, I feel like. That's a lot. When we're talking about a day 2, like, I think he carried Acorn is what I'm trying to say. In a nice way.
Yeah. I'm not having any of that. It's just absolutely not true. Watching the games back, Acorn just like flows through the endgame. And Cold is just at his back the entire time. And then that is inherently why Acorn is going down first, because he's the leader. Yep. And Cold's just following. So, like, the person in charge making the calls is typically, not, I guess not always. Like, if you're second to rotate, you will be the one shot. But those two move shoulder to shoulder all the time. So it's really Acorn's calls that wind up getting him in trouble. And it's because they're running low on everything. And I mean, Cold is, I'm not trying to say Cold is not an amazing player. Like, Acorn and Cold are probably the best two players on the region, and they just happen to be on the same team. And I feel like we don't see that very often. Typically, it's like one player stood out. Clix, for example, had an awesome FNCS. Peterbot, another one, had an awesome FNCS. But when watching those two, Acorn and Cold, it is beautiful. Like, it is pure beauty. And his interview after the fact. Did you watch that afterwards?
Yeah. I thought it just was like, funny. I was like, yo, Acorn's a little sassy tonight. That dude's like, yo, what's up, Zeke? You just interrupted me? Like, the way he looked at Zeke when, because there's a delay, obviously. He didn't know that, but I think he had more to say. And he was like, come on, man, don't cut me off. Like, this is my moment. Like, I appreciate that he jumped on to get on for a call, though, for sure.
Yeah, it was fun. I love when players do that, and I feel like whenever we can get those moments, we should. Then just wrapping up some kind of who placed where. We have Peterbot Pollo in second place. They played really well.
Yeah.
Honestly, just, you know, ran into a beast. That's what happens. Aviv Buga, third place. That's Aviv's best placement ever in FNCS. Clix, Epic Whale in fourth. Again, Clix is tied for best ever placement in FNCS. Re and Ritual in fifth. So those were all top five easily. Like, some of the best on the region this entire season. And honestly, like, for the entirety of NA, between like Buga, Clix, Epic Whale, Acorn, like, lots of great players. Noxy, Chris, though, in sixth. Big surprise.
That was a surprise.
Not a team that I expected to do well, but they played so well. And, like, quietly. Like, no one, they're one of the teams that finished top 10. No one's going to say anything. Reminded me of Bryson Chubbs last year to start the year. Like, good placement to start off, but they might be a problem or someone fun to watch, I guess, throughout the rest of the year.
And Bryson Chubbs, mind you, picked up, what, 2 wins over the weekend? At least 2 that I remember. You could like fact check this, but
just one.
They got one.
Yeah,
did they get one? Okay. Well,
they did not have a good tournament.
Yeah, they didn't have an overall good tournament. But I remember distinctively when they won the game, I was like, "There they go, winning again." Because they also won a game at Global Champions. Like, it's those little, like, guys winning a game, like, in these lobbies. That's like incredibly difficult. I'm sure there are a lot of players who have made it to FNCSs multiple times, but have never won an FNCS game. Like, that's got to be a fun stat, but I'm sure it's a stat that exists to also just show you, like, how difficult it is to get there, how even more difficult it is to win against that type of lobby. In a meta like this, too, where it's, like pretty tempered, right? Like you said, it's pretty fair. All, like, sure, Grapple Hook is a little bit of a beast item. You could do a lot with it, but it's accessible. Like, it's very accessible. It's not like this extremely rare item that we don't really seem to have teams not having it. And then just also shout out, like, I do want to shout out Clix's reaction. Clix was like over the moon with his performance. I don't know how Epic Whale felt about it, but like, Clix, you know, took his little one-on-one with his chat, and he's like, guys, I've never played better. Like, this felt great, like, amazing, like, having the chat have his back, but playing up to his own expectation. I'm curious to like see the other side of that, because Epic Whale is someone who's won multiple FNCSs. We're talking 6 of them. SVG has his hands in the air. Like, we know he is the 6X, right? I feel like he feels different about that. Like, I feel like he's like, bro, I fell off high ground when we should have won a game. Right? Like, I probably made this mistake, that mistake. And you could tell the second game, like, right after they fell off high ground, I could tell that he was mentally affected, because he goes down mad early the game after that too, right? So it's like a couple things starting to add up there. So I would be curious to see and hear his perspective, but you know, we'll never really know, right?
Yeah, that is interesting. And I think Clicks played one of the best FNCS. It's
he had
actually
the most
not,
damage of the entire any region. Best.
That was the best he's ever played in FNCS Grand Finals, like hands down. And I like what you said, I don't think that Epic Whale would say that was the best he's ever played in an FNCS Grand Finals. So with them getting fourth with one player doing that, I don't know. Does that say like that's going to be the best that they could do, or does that mean that there's room for improvement? Because I mean, you have Peterbot and Polio, they're only getting better. Like that duo is only gonna get better. And you have Yamza Rise, who got robbed of two games, and they still finished in eighth place. They had a really good chance to give Acorn Cold a run for their money, but got robbed of two games. So,
well, it could be argued that with them in the game, yeah, you don't get Acorn and Cold just having their way, right? With again, how it looked easy. It only takes one other team, like the you know, rate and the pace of which Yamza and Rise was playing at. That affects everything. Like a good team like that in the lobby is a cascading effect across. It's a ripple effect. What they do to that team affects everybody's affected by when someone's that good in the lobby. And yeah, they were robbed. Let's actually jump into that just a little bit before we jump into some more of the other controversial stuff, because you know, Yamza and Rise had the arguably the most realistic shot to take all of NA away and never really look back. They were in first place by a 30-point lead or so before they got possibly kicked out the game, possibly DDoS. That's the assumptions right now. But something weird was happening. And I don't know if it was happening to both of them or not, but something was up.
Yeah, and we might never know unless they come out and say what happened, because that's just the way this works. And unfortunately, it's what is going to happen with online tournaments. There's just really nothing you could do when you're playing online, whether it was on purpose by somebody or it was an internet provider just so happened to decide, hey, we have to do an update right now. And that sucks. Most internet providers aren't going to do it on a Saturday or Sunday night. So I highly doubt that that's the case. But at the same time, you can't rule that out, or someone hit like a telephone wire and screwed up the internet down the road. Nonetheless, what happened and what they claim is one of them were getting DDoSed. Unfortunately, it cost them two games. And who knows if it cost them more, right? You don't know if they were getting higher ping, getting lag in other games. So it could have been more than just the two that they stated. And then we're going to run into who knows what happens next. So they were playing really well. They're also a team that has yet to realize their potential, or I guess not realize, because they've hit it at moments, just not during the entirety of a grand finals. And I want to see that team play as well as they can for an entirety of a grand finals, because they are good enough to be FNCS grand champions, and they just haven't been one yet.
Yeah, I've always trolled like Iamzo gives off the truest like serial killer vibes, and the fact that you got to see his like his human side come out, you know, like he's a young man, he's a teenager. Yeah. The fact you really got to see him like breaking down essentially on the socials just shows you he's a kid at the end of the day, man. And these you know, the pressures that they deal with, and it also just shows you how much it means to them, right? It was tough, man, and it's unfortunate because. Again, Rise also is, I think it's, hasn't had a chance like this, right? In a long time to really be up at the very top of the top five, essentially, and be in that conversation. Yamzo's kind of had this limelight on him for quite some time, but Rise had a moment in a season and then didn't really have it again, right? And this is, I forgot, who was he playing with? It was when he was playing with DGen. Was it DGen and Rise? Right, I believe it was when
DGen Yamzo.
But DGen, was it DGen Yamzo? Who was Rise playing? I'm pulling a blank right now.
I'm looking.
Or was it Rise and Duke? I don't know. He had a good teammate, but he was basically living in the shadow of that teammate. He didn't really get to get, I feel like his flowers. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't really get to get his moment. And you know, since then, he's never stopped being a competitor, which you can genuinely appreciate. However, again, when you get really, really robbed like this, it's absolutely tough. So SBG's trying to find out like who Rise's next door. I guess we could go like Rise Liquipedia, probably.
Shout out to
Liquipedia, man. They got all the info. Who he played with back in the day. Wait, this looks different. I'm looking at RLCS Rise. I'm going like way off the tangent over here. There's Rises across all types of.
Oh, so you're thinking of Jamper Threats and Rise, it looks like. Because that when they played as a trio, they were one of the contenders.
So
Threats, Edgy Rise, Ager's Rise for a little bit, Threats and Rise, Trashy Rise, and then pretty much Yamzo from that point.
Yeah, I'm looking at Rise's history here. Yeah, I think I might have just been honestly blurring up the lines. I thought for some reason, I genuinely thought he was playing alongside D-Gen, but I'm seeing D-Roller here for a little season and a couple others back in the day. But either way, he's definitely a player who's you know, had his fair representation at high level Fortnite, right, alongside the best of the best. And to lose out on your opportunity like this, and like we said, he's kind of lived in the shadows of all his teammates for a while now. This was their chance, man. This was their chance. But I think the community is with him. I think the community knows now, regardless of whether or not they finish up at the top or not, like, they had a chance, and people are not going to forget that. So next season, that's going to be a for sure team to look out for. But we're on the topic of, you know, folks who had a chance, folks who had a season, if you will. A lot changed on that FNCS leaderboard. In fact, that folks are disqualified, folks are removed, points were deducted. I mean, the list goes on. Like, there are some ramifications coming out of, for some, questionable decisions. For others, maybe cheats are involved. In a FNCS, by the way, it's pretty insane. SBG, take me through the list of players, because there's literally a list of players that were removed from the FNCS leaderboard.
So I'm going to say this up front. I have no freaking clue whether or not these people actually cheated or
true.
There's some funny business going on. Because the fact that there was this many people removed, and at this point, there are 12 teams that have been removed. So there's 6 on OCE, which notably there are regular cheaters on OCE. So like that being the most on that region does not surprise me.
Right.
Then on EU, we had Nate and Lane, Prism and Casper Nova. And like some of these players only had their day 1 or day 2 points removed, which is weird because they weren't fully removed from the leaderboard, but they had like a day worth of points removed from the leaderboard. So like that's why I also think this might just be Fortnite bugging for a second.
Right.
But we know for a fact Pegazine and Kitos from Brazil were in first place after day 1. They were removed from the leaderboard and unable to play day 2. There were 2 other teams that were removed from there, 1 team removed from Middle East. The winners from OCE, Suns and Vazen, however you say it, they won FNCS. Then yesterday or 2 days ago, Fortnite Competitive tweets out, "Hey, congratulations. Here's the teams that won FNCS and qualified for global championships," and it was the 2nd place team. And you're like, all right, social media manager, did you screw this one up? Like, are we sure that that's who's supposed to be on this tweet? And then, you know, apparently they were disqualified for, it says stream sniping on the screenshot that I saw, but also like, they weren't streaming. How do you know that they were stream sniping? It's just weird to me. I this is the weirdest I've ever felt about a group of cheaters, because normally there's pretty sure evidence. The Pegazine and Kitos one also is like weird to me, but I've heard that there was a video of them in a call with the team that they were trading Surge with. So I haven't seen that. I can't say that's true. If that is true and that was sent to Epic, all right, cool. They don't deserve to play in FNCS. But I feel like that's something, especially within this community, that would have become public.
So I agree with you. I'm not sure too much so about the context behind PHN and Kitos, right? Like that, they, mind you, they played LAN. We've seen what they are capable of. This is an incredible team, one of the best across the BR region, like point blank period. They've proven that. If they were doing something suspect that led them to a ban, I can see that happening because, you know, the smaller regions, they tend to get into these colluding situations. But they all do, actually. Let's be honest. Even NA. We've seen all NA a lot. However, Suns Invasion, you talked about it like being questionable, and I see the screenshot as well of the, oh, he was competitively banned for a warning with stream sniping. However, he admitted 12 hours ago he cheated outright. He actually released an apology tweet, and I'm going to read this to you guys because the responses under this tweet are pretty hilarious because a lot of them think that this was a tweet essentially generated with like the support of ChatGPT or something because he does not type like this. So there's comedy involved here too. But anyways, he goes on to say, as you guys all know, I was disqualified from FNCS Grants. I am very sorry to the people I have deceived, such as Suns OCE. Yes, I was cheating, and I am very sorry to the people who I've grieved, and I'm sorry to those who lost out on money because of me. And that was the official pin tweet and response coming out of Vazen AU, essentially, again, a player from OCE, and he took accountability for cheating and apologized to Suns. So it does make me wonder if whether or not Suns had a clue. I would be hard pressed to believe that Suns didn't know, right? Like, probably, yeah, I'm with like you that. There. That's kind of crazy. However, at least it wasn't they were both cheating, right? It was there's a
that
little
we know
light
of who
that
knows?
We know of. So in this instance, at least Vazen is taking full accountability for the cheating. For all we know, he's ready to leave, and they both had cheats, and Suns is banned, and you know maybe he comes back, right? But that's the situation right now for the FNCS. And that was a pretty big deal because I don't remember another time where we've had, like, maybe it was another OCE team, but, like, a winning team take an FNCS, then actually get removed and get all their earnings striked in this manner for cheating in a competitive game like this.
Yeah, it's wild. And it scares me if it's all cheaters. Luckily, actually, I say luckily. I was about to say, luckily we know Pegazine and Kitos were banned or suspended or removed because of trading Surge and not because of actually cheating, but we don't know. Mm. And there's been 12 teams removed across the world in the largest Fortnite tournament of the season. We only get 4 of them per year, 3 online, 1 in person, and I have zero expectations that Fortnite's going to say anything, and that's a shame because we had 2 players in first place that were removed, and that should not just go like be swept under the rug. Something needs to be said. The competitors playing in these games deserve an understanding of what's going on. I don't really care about the cheaters. If they were actually cheating, like, screw them. They can get removed. You don't need to tell them why, but the players that genuinely compete in this game, they need to know if cheating's that big of a problem where we have 12 teams in grand finals that are getting removed after, not during, one team was removed during, after, 11 teams after we played an entire grand finals out. That is not fair. That is uncompetitive, and that needs to be addressed. And I'm sorry, this might cost me jobs in the future. I don't really care, but I don't want to work at a place that is going to allow cheaters just to play, not say anything about it, and tell kids just to queue up again, deal with it, and now you have to play against cheaters, and we're not going to say anything or do anything until after the fact.
Yeah, making it look as if, you know, the team is essentially turning a blind eye. You cannot do that. It's already a problem. It's been a problem for a long time, and it's been a problem in a type of way where, like, everyone says it exists, but do you see it? We see it on Cash Cup days. We see it here. We see it there. And then we get to finals, and then it's always lingering there. But now you see it in, like, finals in a very substantial way, right? 12 teams. As of this recording, for one reason or another, right, sanctioned against or action against. And even if there's an anomaly in there where there's a team that might be innocent caught in a weird crossfire, it doesn't matter. There's still plenty of other evidence to show that foul play is at hand at a large or a pretty high scale for our air quotes best competitors. That's only going to influence more people to think they have to cheat in order to, or take shortcuts in order to perform at the highest levels, in order to have a chance. And we can't have an esport or a competitive title or community that enables this type of stuff. And we know the pros are not going to, you know, what can they do? They're just going to joke about it. They're going to act like they have it, right? Like, you know, we see this thing happen. If anything, they're part of the promotion. They're part of the problem. But it's not their problem to fix at the end of the day. They could meme on it. They could joke on it. They could do whatever they want. It's literally not their problem to fix. It's the developers, ultimately. That's the responsibility. It comes down to the devs.
Yeah, and up until recently, I was team, like, I didn't think there was that many cheaters in this game. And I think it was overblown. And I felt that most players were just complaining when they would die to a player in a tournament that they didn't know of, and they hit some good shots. Like, we're playing with red dot, like, modded weapons that are really easy to beam players with. Like, it's gonna happen.
Well, I want to give a little bit of credit to Epic, actually, just on the topic of cheating. I know we're bashing on, like, gotta respond or there has to be correspondence involved, but, you know, there was this one cheater. I forgot what his Twitter handle was, and you might have seen it, though. BloodX, I believe, responded to the person, but the guy, like, put out a whole, essentially a twit longer, like, hey guys, sorry, I gotta step away from, you know, being the lead cheat, you know, guy in the scene, but you know, Epic approached me, basically cease and desist. This is real. They're actioning against me potentially if I don't stop. So, you know, this is all, and it happened at the same time. It literally happened this season.
Yeah.
Now, he's not the person who is creating the cheats, but he's a part. This person would have been a part of the problem of putting the, his reputation was putting the best cheats, undetectable, most up to date, in front of more and more potential clients who would then go buy the cheat. So it's not like they solve the issue. Like, they haven't gotten, it seems like, to the person who's, like, creating this thing. And that's probably why that guy's not in jail right now or facing some, like, insane fine, because they're probably still looking. But they are, or they did stop a guy who was, like, mass promoting it, who had a reputation, a brand around sharing high quality cheats. But it shows you, There's a problem, dude.
There definitely is. And I don't think Fortnite's doing nothing. But what it comes down to is we know that there's, like, separate teams within the giant company that is Epic Games. And the competitive team needs to take action, take a stand as to what's going on. We all hoped that the bye week would be a week of them being able to weed out any potential cheaters. And who knows, like, I could be saying all this and genuinely it could just be a bug within the system and all these players are going to get reinstated. I don't see that happening. One of the players freaking admitted he was cheating, so that's probably not going to change. But, like, something needs to be done or said. We shouldn't just run another FNCS without Fortnite doing something, and hopefully they do something and don't say anything about it. But I also hope that they do say something, so that way the players that invest tens, hundreds of hours into this game know that they're at least going to get a fair shake to compete against people actually playing, not cheating.
Yeah, and they're competing in the game that the, you know, the back end team cares about the product. Ultimately, that's equally a very important part. But talking about how, like, Epic is just broken up into all these parts and these all these divisions. I mean, another division that has gotten really active this weekend, SBG, is the Fortnite creative space. I don't know who's finally making the calls over there, but someone has had enough because there were 31 creators suspended from creative. Some temporarily, others probably a little bit longer, but also having monetization options stripped in some cases, and other severe cases, I think, being completely banned from the opportunity to actually earn income. Now, from the wording of the messaging, for at least from what I got from SBG, to me, it looks like they were targeting, like, permanently targeting anyone who was doing, like, maybe more explicit type content, because there were some, like, pretty borderline, like, what did you name this map type stuff out there. And people were like skating around this real edgy line. And I think those are the guys that they're referencing when they say, oh yeah, we're not going to tolerate any of that in particular.
So I'll read the tweet for you guys listening to this. This was from the FN Create account. It's like the official Fortnite creative account. This week, 31 creators received a temporary publishing and monetization ban, including retroactive monetization penalties for repeated violations of Fortnite creators' rules. Creators who continue to ignore the rules will be permanently banned. Like you, we are frustrated by the small subset of creators who violate the community's trust with misleading or offensive content. This week's bans are part of a larger review of our moderation policies and enforcement practices to ensure that breaking the rules doesn't pay. And then they tell you how to report. I think that's pretty straightforward. It's like, yeah, hey, we know what you guys are doing. Like, you got away with it for long enough, and now it's time to face the consequences. And there are professional players that post maps, promote maps, do things with their maps that break the rules. So I shared this. I was like, hey, guys, like, I know you're doing this. It's cool now, but like, let's not play with fire for too much longer.
I had a friend who uploads maps, and he got a cease and desist from Epic Games and Prime because he had a Prime map. And you know, if you guys are unfamiliar, Prime, I'm talking about Logan Paul's energy drink. Like, you know, it's an IP. It obviously belongs to a big company, Logan Paul. And yeah, I had a friend who had a map in there, like red versus blue, Prime versus Gatorade. And he would get, it sounds so stupid. He would get a lot of the, you know, little kids and whatever his player base was to actually participate. And he was making money on it. Luckily for him, they didn't take his money. They didn't ban him monetarily. They just said, hey, you've essentially been caught. Prime is not having this, and they are issuing takedown notices, and your map is definitely in violation. So I think we're going to see more of that too. More IP cease and desist, copyright claims. Like, you cannot do copyright stuff, and we see it everywhere, dude. Like, It's unfair, really. It's just really unfair to, you know, your average creator, someone who's trying to be competitive in the sense of, you know, do things the right way. You know, you have everyone else taking shortcuts.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I stopped trying to create Fortnite maps is because, like, McDonald's versus Burger King.
It's going to beat you every time, dude.
Yeah, and people are putting out like SpongeBob maps and like Disney maps. It's like, that is literally the worst company that you can try and combat and try and get away with IP with. But it got like 10,000 players. And it's like, all right, well, I can create good stuff. I don't really care. And there are people like Ken Bean's maps are genuinely good and he gets a ton of players. Like, that dude's freaking rich now. But the general player base, if you go on and you just like see what's promoted, if I'm looking at 10 maps, at least two of them are some kind of like shouldn't be there.
And I think it's more than that. I'll be honest. I feel like it's like 9 out of 10. And then you have the one normal map. Yeah, dude. FN Create, shout out to them stepping up the creative team, actually suspending people. I think this is going to send essentially a pretty massive warning shot to the creators if they want to stay in and continue to win. One thing to think about is if you've basically shortcutted your way up into the algorithm, you know, through IP violation maps, etc. I mean, you're kind of in too. That's the other side. Like, you're in already as a creator. All you have to do is do the right thing now. It's not that hard either. You might not see the numbers you saw before, but people have a chance now to do the right thing. So if, you know, if you weren't essentially caught in that 31, you know, one of the 31 creators that was blasted out, I mean, there is a chance to still win here. And it's crazy that, like, you know, cheating is going to get rewarded in that sense, because there are people that will literally and ultimately have already made more than enough to, you know, to hell with it. It's whatever. Like, they made it, right? Like, it doesn't even matter. And they have the algorithm on their side.
Yeah, if you've made I mean, even $100, right? Like, not even like a lot of money. If you've made $100 on something that like absolutely should not have gotten paid out, then.
Well, my guy was making $1,000, and
really,
Prime versus Gatorade was one of his maps. He had like a Sukuna versus Gojo, which for those of you guys that don't know, that's like an anime thing. This dude was playing the game. He was playing the IP violation. Red versus blue, everything you could imagine versus, you know, other brands. And
all right.
They were winning.
Dude, I literally just pulled up my game to, like, see. So I'm on trending, right?
Whoa.
Okay, so this is what Fortnite is promoting as trending. Fortnite OG Heroes, that's fine. The second map, SpongeBob Wars.
There it is.
The third map, President Box PvP. And then we go to the, what is this, the sixth? Disney box PvP. It's like, bro, how is this
Joe Biden's map, bro? Joe Biden obviously wanted to make a map.
Oh, here we go. Xbox versus PS5 versus Switch.
Versus
another one.
Switch. Oh man. Well, there's always a lot going on in creative. Hopefully, that made y'all get a little laugh, a little kick out of what's going on in creative. It's shambles. But I do anticipate that this year it's going to get a lot better. And, you know, they have a great roadmap in front of them. And they've seemingly have been able to continue to the development course, which is interesting. Now, they do break stuff every update. It's not fun. But, yeah, you know, they've been dropping some updates. SBG, it's been a wonderful episode, man, kicking it with you. Let the people at home know where they can find you, bro.
It's Somebody's Gun on all platforms. I'm expecting next week I'll be putting out my first long form video. Been doing a bunch of short form recently, but been working with Alden to kind of like break down statistically of like things that I thought were true that aren't true, which is really interesting because I went in to like this whole theory crafting with Alden or Prodigy Analytics for you guys who may not know who Alden is, but looking at grand finals from a statistical perspective, and there are a lot of things that I thought would have been true based on how I believe Fortnite's supposed to be played, but they are not. So we're going to be talking about those and learning a bunch of stuff.
Well, I want to know the title of your video. I feel like it's going to be like, is it going to be something like five things you thought were true about the FNCS that really aren't? Or like, is it like, How down the long form YouTube rabbit hole are we going, SVG, is what I'm asking.
I don't know. It'll be like pretty straightforward,
okay.
But the title will deliver on what I'm telling people it is.
All right, bet. Well, listen, guys, you can send all your complaints to me at thefortnitepodcast@gmail.com or at MonsterDFace on all social handles. I'm working with my good friend TooLoudTX. I'm coming out of a crazy busy week, but I gotta get the Twitter handle back from him, and then we'll hopefully start getting some video content pumping out there as well. As always, and until next time, don't forget to dance at those kills and boast in those victory owls. Peace, y'all.